Good afternoon, everyone. Once again, it's Commissioner Brian Calker meeting for a informal today. It is Wednesday, December 4th, approximately 1:30. We're meeting for an informal on case number PU12-820, Total Call Mobile Inc.'s designated request to become an eligible carrier. We have myself joined by my two colleagues, Commissioner Fedorchak and Commissioner Chrisman, Sarah Cardwell from staff. And if you could identify yourself, who's out there in telephone land.
This is Robert Yap. I'm the general counsel for Total Call Mobile.
Thank you, Robert.
And I'm Amy Inagaki, and I'm counsel for Total Call Mobile.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any opening comments, but I'd open up to my colleagues if they have anything, and then I'll turn it over to the company or Sarah, whoever wants to go first.
I have no opening comments, except to say it's nice to see the brain trust from MDU over here cutting their lunch short to be involved in our telecommunications company session.
And Otter Tail.
And Otter Tail.
Just whoever they could grab off the street. I don't have any opening comments.
Perfect. Okay. You typically we have the company go first, but Sarah, do you have any opening comments before the company starts?
No, I do not.
Okay. Robert or Amy, I'm not sure which one of you takes the lead, but I'll turn it over to you to present your case.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you for taking the time today to meet with us. I just wanted to give, by way of introduction, a little bit of background on the company. Total Call Mobile has been a prepaid wireless and postpaid wireless service provider since 2005, and our market space has primarily been prepaid mobile, often focusing on low-income individuals who are looking for low-cost alternatives for telecommunications and wireless service. In 2012, we applied to become a ETC carrier for wireless, and we applied in 2011, but we were approved in 2012, and are currently licensed in 17 states and are providing Lifeline services, I think, in many of them. We're not live in all of them, but we're looking forward to moving into North Dakota and servicing customers there as well. Also, by way of further backdrop, our company in 2010 was purchased by KDDI, which is a telecommunications company, global telecommunications company out of Japan. They have about $35 billion in revenue worldwide. And one of the goals with the acquisition was really to grow customers in the United States, including with regard to the Lifeline product. So Lifeline, I think, is a great service for the low-income people who need them. But there is some investment as far as handsets and getting applications out to people. And one of the things we wanted to realize is that we do have that financial and financial backing, as well as wireless expertise coming out of our parent company, that gives us the opportunity to get Lifeline into the hands of those in need. But with that, I'm open to any questions, and certainly want to address any of your concerns.
Okay, thank you, Robert. This is Brian. I just have one question. Who is your North Dakota point of contact if we have questions? Our staff needs to contact directly. You have somebody designated for North Dakota?
You're saying outside counsel?
No, I'm just saying that someone calls here with a complaint or some of you guys did a great thing. Who would be the North Dakota person that we'd call to resolve those complaints?
We don't have a North Dakota contact. We're registered in North Dakota, so we have an agent for service there. But otherwise, the call center from our New Jersey office takes all complaints. We use various customer service organizations to assist with our customer service needs, but there's also a regulatory filing point of contact that they can send to as well. I'm not sure. I think it's in our filings that we have a specific address set aside for that.
Okay, so would you be willing to designate someone as a North Dakota point of contact, or you prefer to leave it as just calling a general number? We like to develop a relationship with the customer service people for each of the companies, and it's hard to develop relationships with the phone bank.
I see. What we do have is, for the purpose of escalations, we have somebody other than customer service. We actually have the supervisor designated who takes in regulatory complaints. So if you at the commission got a complaint and wanted sort of to speak to not a customer service frontline person, but rather somebody who can get information from management, they are a New Jersey person, but we can designate that person in that regard.
Okay, thank you. That would be the only questions that I had. Do my colleagues have any?
Yeah, and this isn't a question as far as to determine whether or not to approve this, but just for how to frame the next questions that follow it. But have you ever been to North Dakota?
Personally, I have not.
Okay, so...
Neither.
You know, we have a low population. You won't find... you know, street corners where you can set up where there's millions of people passing by like you might find in some more urban populations. We also have, fortunately, a pretty strong economy and probably a lower percentage of our population that would even qualify for Lifeline than what most states are. So I'm trying to figure out how you feel you benefit your company by coming to North Dakota.
Sure. I think, and I'm glad to hear that North Dakota is doing well. But we feel that there are populations throughout the United States that have this need for this service. It may not be as easy for us to acquire customers in North Dakota because of a lot of the people may not be in concentrated urban areas, and so that may be a challenge for us to face. But we do get some applications online, and so. For those who qualify but don't have, you know, come across point of sale locations or agents, they can go to our website to apply. But also, I think that I have to defer to our sales team a little bit in this regard. Is that they try to find ways to reach out to customers, and so they will probably look in some of the urban areas for customers, but also. I know that we have tried direct mail to lower-income neighborhoods. There is some general distribution of materials to outreach to people, including through the web. And so we feel that there are ways to provide this type of service to states, even if they have less urban population.
Is it an important factor to wireless Lifeline providers to... I don't know what the right terminology is, but to kind of fill in the blanks across the country so that in the more urban areas you can emphasize that you're a regional or national company as opposed to just in specific urban areas?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question. Can you run that by me one more time?
I'm trying to figure out if the focus really is to get here to really acquire customers or to just kind of be able to fill in a map that, you know, you're licensed in a across the whole geographic country or across a whole big region of the country so that in the areas where there probably is a larger qualified population, It looks more impressive that you are a regional company and not just operating in a small area.
I see. I think for us, I mean, we do have a footprint throughout the country already on our regular service. I mean, obviously, we have stronger customer bases in certain areas. I mean, California, where we're based, we have a bigger base. We've had some good distribution in the Midwest. Particularly Missouri and Kansas and Michigan. But for us, we try to reach out nationally in that respect. For us, it's not a question of region per se, but it is really the opportunity to acquire customers throughout the country.
Okay, and my last question, at least that I can think of now, maybe about a year ago, there were a lot of wireless lifeline providers that got caught with a lot of unqualified customers. Did your company have any amount of those or any at all?
We did not have any issues. Okay. And our systems are set up based upon the revised compliance requirements that came out in late 2012. And so we have been under that system for the most part throughout our time as a Lifeline provider. That includes duplicate checks, de-enrolling people who aren't using the phones, and taking additional steps with regard to the application process so that we get good customers. From our viewpoint, those are better customers to have. Those are who we're looking for. We're looking for more long-term relationships and not just signing up customers. And in those cases, not in ours, but in those cases, people sometimes weren't even real people or they were duplicates beyond belief. And for us, that has not been an issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, I just have a couple questions myself. Have you identified a potential market in North Dakota in terms of number of customers who you will be seeking to reach? Like, what's the potential here?
You know, I think there is some debate about what constitutes an eligible customer estimate or how you come about that estimate. We are looking at internal numbers that range in the 30 to 50,000 household range. But those are internal estimates looking at poverty levels, average household size. It's not an exact science. There's a pocket of customers in North Dakota that have the need based upon our research. And from what we've seen in our research as well is that North Dakota doesn't have a very high take rate compared to other states. We see an opportunity for reaching out to those customers, particularly since there's a relatively lower outreach.
Okay. And how will you be marketing to them?
Our system has several different potential avenues. The sales teams do try to pick one that is of best yield and most appropriate for the particular market. In general, we've done a lot of through independent agents, we have direct-to-consumer events where they go to locations where they have fairs or individuals who generally have low income congregate, and they do on-the-ground solicitation. So that's one avenue. We also have website access, and people have asked us, do people really go to the website? And we do actually experience website traffic. They, in theory, could go, if they don't have it at home, they could go through the public library or various other channels, but we do get applications via the web. We also do some direct events from the company itself. That's not too frequently done, but there is some consideration to do some of that type of activity as well.
Are your marketers or contract marketers paid for sign-ups?
Yes, they are. But they are only, I know that just to address what I think the concern is, I have been in talking to different regulators, there's some concern that people are paid, whether or not it's a good application. In our case, we have a system where the phones are given out to the distributors or these agents, and if they give us a good sign-up, they get credit for the phone. That means it's a complete application, that it qualifies and is checked for duplication, and that the government agrees that it's a proper remittance and that we actually get money on that remittance. If they send us an application that is incomplete or wrong in any fashion, they would get charged the full amount of the phone and no commission. So we do pay per sign-up, but I would emphasize per good sign-up that is checked internally, both with duplication analysis as well as to make sure that the application is reasonable and complete.
And what do you use for screening criteria, like to verify the income and need?
Right now, we base our application process on several protocols. We do check for ID. We check to make sure that the person's ID matches the benefit card. If the benefit card has personal information on it, they need to tie. And so I would say a large portion of the eligibility comes from that process. The easiest one is food stamps. The next easiest is probably Medicaid qualification. Certain large federal programs that have these IDs, we check them, and if they have the name and identification on the particular proof of program, we tie it to the ID provided. So that's the eligibility check. On the income basis, it is something that we've asked for from, and very few people use the income basis because it's kind of hard to prove the income basis. But what happens is if they claim that their income is below the particular threshold, they're supposed to provide us all forms of income proof that they have. That can come in the form of a tax return statement, the front page of which reflects their income for their household or for that particular individual, or any other sources of proving their income, such as W-2s and the like. But to be quite frank, that is relatively difficult for individuals to prove. They don't carry that around with them. They do carry around with them these other more clear indications of program participation, such as food stamps and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then my last question, what percent of your business is Lifeline?
I can't give you the most recent numbers. Last year, we had about 10 to 20% of our customers were Lifeline. It's growing now to the point where it is becoming maybe 60-70% of our customer base overall. But also, even though there are more customer counts, they're not as high revenue units. So I guess it depends how you measure the percentage of business. We still have a good amount of regular subscribers as well.
And are you primarily a resale company, or do you have actually infrastructure ownership someplace?
We are a reseller, so we resell Sprint.
Okay. Okay, I think that's all my questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Crispin, any follow-ups or anything?
No, I don't.
Okay, let's see here. Robert, would you offer this up as your testimony for the informal?
Yes.
Okay, and we will certainly receive it. Sarah, do you want to go through with you have a staff memo. Do you want to walk through what your thoughts in this application are?
Well, basically, this company has applied. They signed our certification that says that they will provide the North Dakota form that allows us for certain classifications to check with the Department of Human Services as to whether that person meets the qualifications or not. And they also completed our additional request for information that we have asked companies to do beyond the just what they file. So they have completed all the information requirements that we have for these providers, and the federal databases are getting closer. There's two pieces. There's the one that checks for duplicates, and then there's the other part of the database that's going to check for qualifications, and they're moving along. And it is anticipated that the first of those databases will be up and operational during the first quarter of 2014. So those databases will also mm-hmm. prevent any waste, fraud, and abuse that has been problematic for these programs. So based on that, I don't have any reason to deny their application.
So you're recommending approval?
Yes, sir.
Fair enough. I don't have any questions, sir. I don't know if Randy or Julie has any.
I guess one, really. What was the reaction from whoever you talked to from Total Call Mobile when you asked them about their willingness to turn over the subscriber lists on whatever frequency it would turn out to be and make sure they had those the specific releases from the North Dakota Department of Human Services?
They didn't comment specifically. I mean, I haven't found any of the companies that said they didn't like that requirement.
They did look at the release form, though. They know what we're asking them to get signed, right?
I hope so. You could ask them.
you sent them one?
I believe so.
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Commissioner Fedorchak? Okay. Well, that was very straightforward. Let's see here back there. Robert, is there anything else that you wanted to add after, give you one more chance after Sarah's comments? And if you wanted to address Commissioner Crispin's question, maybe you might have heard that.
Can you give me one moment? I have to ask my associate a question about that. I'm not sure. I may have seen that form, but I want to make sure that we have a copy of it so I understand. Can you hold on just 1 minute?
Absolutely. We could just follow up afterwards with this, too.
Yeah, I think let me understand the form. I mean, I know that sometimes that in the case of North Dakota, we have to check a separate database. Is that correct?
Well, that is correct, but these are things that you should be knowing before you come to us saying you want to do business in our state. So I think that Commissioner Christmas' point is well taken, but if I think what we need to do is have you go back and look at those forms and make sure you know what you signed. You already signed a certification saying you're going to do that, but
right.
The follow-up question didn't instill a lot of confidence when you didn't have an answer right away. So
I apologize. I have read it. I'm trying to find a copy of it. I'm actually out of the office at a different site, so I don't have the exact form in front of me, and I want to be confident in my answer. I'm pretty sure my associate just told me that I read it, so I want to make sure that I understand which document's being referred to. This is the certification, let's see, I have one in front of me here dated October 31st that we remitted. It asks for certain things. Hold on a second. I did review this. Yes, we covered this. So we have no problem with the additional certification.
Okay, perfect. Commissioner Crispin, any follow-ups?
No, I'm good.
All right. Okay, going once, going twice. Robert, Amy, anything else you wanted to offer up today?
Not at this time.
Okay, Sarah, any closing thoughts?
No.
Okay. Julie or Randy?
Amy, did you have something?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay, just so you know, what we'll do is we'll be closing this informal here in a couple of minutes, and what we'll do is we'll decide whether we want to do a quick work session on this, and if not, we'll get it up for a vote probably in the next month or so. So thank you for taking the time today to give us the information. So we'll go ahead and close the informal on case number PU12820. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everyone, for the time.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
You need to take a break at all, anybody? Mm-mm. All right. Who's up next, then?